his mouth, tasting freedom while he does been calling back. Oh, that'll be on the podcast now, asshole.
Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, he's an asshole. Wait, no, he's not.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, he's doing good.
I'm doing awesome.
So I'm Mo. But I'm serious. It's on air.
Speaking of assholes.
It's all killer and no filler. Wait. And so don't cut me off. I'm on a go there. Anyways, I got lots to rant about. I got lots of hate. But so we better get going. Let's save the main topic that I have created for this week that I'm going to use my memory to do. So it'll probably suck. But let's save that for the main event. Let's get rid of all these quick hit items like Raw out of the way.
Okay.
You lead it from here.
Okay. Raw? You know, yeah, there were two highlights of Raw.
Okay.
The first one was Bob Backlund.
This is all you've wanted to talk about since the show.
This was such a great promo.
Well, it's just Bob Backlund being Bob Backlund. This is the same as Bob Backlund's Hall of Fame promo.
The best part was, yeah, I love it. He's yelling like a heel, but trying to garner support. And then at the end, he tells everybody, he walks away, and then he comes back and tells everybody to sit up straight when I talk to you.
Yeah, I just don't know anymore if he's living the gimmick or if the gimmick is him. I can't tell.
I
don't know if he can tell. I don't know.
You know who is a fan of this promo?
Who's that?
Maria Menounos.
That's true, she is. Big fan of this promo. Do you have anything else you want to say about this promo?
No, just that it was awesome.
Okay.
And then you got...
And that's why it got such an incredibly small crowd reaction.
I know.
But then he did get 31% of the vote or whatever.
He did. Yeah. For that awesome yelling hysteria that he did. It's just great. And then...
I think they scripted that for shit for him.
Oh, hell no. I don't think they scripted it for any of them. I mean,
they scripted the one line, obviously, for Booker T, the, best for business line.
Yeah. But again, Booker seems so kind of nonsensically rambling that I don't think they, they would have scripted him either.
Yeah, but, other than that, probably not.
No, right, well, the one line that was great that Booker T did in his promo was because he didn't want to see him partial, so he gave kind of, I don't say warning or shout out to both men, right? Because he's like, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, I'm coming after you! Oh, and then my TV then cut out for a second after that.
You don't know what happened next? Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways.
And then we had HB Shizzle.
Uh-huh.
That only made me giggle because then the crowd started chanting, HB Shizzle. I'm like, nobody's fucking over in this company, but Shawn Michaels says HB Shizzle when people chant.
Yeah. I mean, so can I start ranting yet about all the stuff that's wrong here?
Let's see. What else happened on Raw? I think that was it.
Well, we did. I was correct. The giant swing did happen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we saw Kali get the giant swing. We saw Hornswoggle get a giant, I guess, a swing.
That swing. Honest to God, I swear, I think that it might actually be harder to do a high giant swing on Hornswoggle than on Great Kali. Once you get going on Kali, at least you're, the center of gravity's out there and almost helping towards you, whereas, I mean, he's so short and fat.
Yeah, poor Dylan.
People were incensed.
Oh, he's got Dylan, Hornswoggle.
People were incensed with Battleground. Well, the few people that ordered it were.
I was going to say, most people were actually indifferent.
Because I mean, I'm not sure what's, you know, more important, like to have a good Raw or good pay-per-view. And what is more important, to have a good Raw or to have a good pay-per-view?
Well, right now, it's more important to have a good Raw because people watch that, some people. Whereas, you know, like, you're looking at 1/30th, 1/50th, probably worldwide, of the people that see Raw on Monday, or bought the pay-per-view that see Raw. There's like, if you're looking at 100,000...
Yeah, but they've seen it for free, whereas those are people that will buy apparently anything. You pissed even them off.
Yeah, but there'll be others. I mean, it's...
Nah, it's the same fuckers buying this most of the time.
Oh, sure, and it less and
that's
less.
The thing.
But, yeah, and you pissed off the fuckers. But I think that... well, the fuckers are getting refunds, though, too. Last 2 months in a row. Did you notice...
yeah, that's actually... Did they get refunds the month before? I know people were getting refunds this month, which is...
No, people got refunds for the Night of Champions being reversed, yeah. Because if the finish was reversed...
Really? I didn't realize that. I knew they got... People were getting refunds for this, which was, you know...
Right. So 2 months in a row, we've got some refunds being handed out because of fuck finishes. You notice, by the way, that the decline... Of the programs and the pay-per-views, really.
Just say since, programs again, please.
The programs? Ever since the departure of Mr. Eric Pankowski.
Oh, good point, actually. The guy who was working as the showrunner there.
Yeah, and now is on the new Arsenio Hall show.
Oh, is that where he went to?
That's where he went, yeah.
Oh, so he'll be back soon.
So, well, yeah. I was hearing that the government shut down in the U.S. there. Did you see that?
Well, I know they have shut down, yeah.
Yeah. The last time they did that was 1990. First time since 1995. So basically, the U.S. government shuts down every time Arsenio Hall gets a new show.
Yeah, that's no coincidence.
Yeah. So, it's cause and effect, I think. But yeah, Eric Pankowski's gone, and the show is really shit. In terms of pay-per-view major finishes. I mean, week to week, some have been better than others, but and some angles have been better than others, but these pay-per-views, I mean, I don't understand it, why you do this, you know, 2 months. And now you got to convince people, no, for realsies this time.
Yeah, but it's for realsies on a match we're burned out on, you know.
I don't know if we're burned out on it.
Oh, people are burned out on this match. Because when the match is announced, on that main event match, they are burned out on Orton versus Ryan.
I thought you were talking about the stip, but yeah.
No, not the stip. No, no. I mean, I'm not even sure which stip you're talking about. The
heck in the sec.
The heck in the sec or the... well, I mean, that's how you sell this match. I mean, if you really wanted to actually have people buy this fucking pay-per-view, and good luck with that. The only way, and they shouldn't do this... The only way to do it is to promise them the old Hell in the Cell. That people would pay for. If people knew that, oh, okay, you mean I'm going to get blood, I'm going to get a crazy bump, I'm going to get, like, the shit that I paid.
HB Shizzle did?
Yeah, that HBK did, and that Foley did, and that the stuff that was happening back then. That
and
made,
Shizzle?
Yeah, exactly. That actually made, after I watched that, I can't wait to see the next Hell in the Cell. Undertaker versus Lesnar and all this shit. If you do that, if you promise people that, they would actually pay. But it's not worth it. But that's what it would take.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you get the bumps of, yeah, you know, you're...
People were promised, okay, you're going to see blood. You're going to see, like, we're going to go hardcore, like real hardcore. Not our fake hardcore shit that we say and then promise you and deliver you something that's still very, very PG.
And I think, and through, I don't want to say no complete fault of the current product, even if the current product was rocking and rolling, it's still going to be hard when you look year over year, because there was a lot of interest in Punk Ryback last year, and that pay-per-view was above average that one time,
this
right? So when you're, so this, no, even if this did your average level, if you looked year over year, you can think of it as a disappointment, because the number, I mean, there's no question the number's going to be down from last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, as I said, even if they were rocking, I would still think the number is down. Now it's going to look even worse when you go year over year as well. I mean, and the funny thing is you're going to get Punk versus Ryback again.
Yeah, yeah, in a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Would they be better off doing this, making this like lockdown, all cage matches?
No. No. I could see multiple matches in the cell like they did that, you know, when it first came as Hell in the Cell, and they'd have, say, like three, like an opening, a middle, and an ending mm-hmm. Hell. But, I mean, I think you for the cell, I mean, if you're doing an all cage gimmick, a cage is a bit different than the cell. I think the cell still would be like saying you're going to have an all elimination chamber pay-per-view. You know what I mean? And every match is in the chamber. And it would just, you know, you don't want to take away from the cell.
Well, you couldn't have every match be Hell in a Cell. It'd have to be one match is Hell in a Cell inside of a steel cage inside the cell. Weapons inside the cell. You know what I mean? It would have to be different. That's what TNA does do with the lockdown that makes it work. Right?
It's well, not it makes, all this. It makes it work, you say. Like having a blindfold match.
Well, sometimes they fuck things up.
If I could be honest with you. No, I think you just do one or two south. Like, quite frankly, right now.
So what should be the two matches that should be Hell in a Cell?
That's a good question, because that's exactly what I was going to say. The only other Cell match that I would like to see is the Shield against the Rhodes.
Interesting.
Tag match in the Cell for the tag titles. I think that's the only other one that I can think of. I don't need to see Cena and Del Rio in a cell. I don't need to see
Ryback Punk
again in the cell. I don't need to see that yet in the cell. I mean, you could, but I don't need to see it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I think the Rhodes and the Shield as a tag, if you're going to do another cell, at least it's a tag match.
Yeah, so it's a little different dynamic. And yeah, it's a little very bit rare. Dynamic. I think we've seen, what, only a couple, one or two tag matches in there in a cell?
Well,
cell?
Yeah, and one of them was fucking DX against Vince, Shane, and Big Show.
Yeah.
So that was fucking crap.
That was where Vince had his head shoved up Big Show's ass, though.
Yeah, literally fucking crap.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I hate them. Anyways,
Weird that Big Show and Hunter would be involved in a feud.
All right, here's where my rant starts. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, so it's pretty obvious that Hunter, about a month ago, went, man, we're going to have three of these in a row, and it's going to be hard to sell this. Let me put a call out to my buddy and get him in here to help, you know, because we're oversaturating the pay-per-views. So let's try and get a hook.
Yes and no. I think, just to cut you off a little bit there, I was thinking about this morning, is that if somebody didn't go on a rant about I'll move, I very much think that Ric Flair would have been the special referee in this.
Yeah, there's a good chance. There's a good chance.
Same dynamic, right? I'm Hunter's friend, but
yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible coming out of SummerSlam. But either way, they obviously, you know, a while ago they figured they had to make this decision, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, and I understand that the referees got screwed last time. So that's why, but you don't do both. Like the whole concept of Hell in a Cell should be once they're in that cell, nobody can get to them anyways. So you don't need a special referee. Because it's not like the referee was pulled out of the ring last in Battleground. Both referees were knocked out. Both times the referee was knocked out, it was Big Show that did it. So it was a third party. It's not if these two had been beating up referees after referees every time they're getting in the ring with each other, then you need a special. There should be a psychology behind this. Then you need the special referee because that you guys aren't going to bully this fucker. And that's the whole fucking point. Instead, you assholes, you've done this. You don't do this and the Hell in a Cell. The point should be with the Hell in a Cell, you can't have the outside interference. There's no logical reason for Shawn Michaels to be in there except for, hey, we're really, really desperate to get you guys to buy this. And it comes back to everything. They should have a goddamn book. I'm so pissed about this shit. They should have a book of all the shit you're not allowed to do. Like,
it's called The Death of WCW.
That's a great book. I cannot wait for next year, 2014.
I know, a year from now.
Yeah. But no, I mean, they should have a Bible, a show Bible saying, okay, if a guy gets his thorax broke, he doesn't wrestle next week.
Right.
And then ignore it from then on out, like they did with The Miz. Mm-hmm. If a referee is going to be a special guest referee, we give it a reason instead of just doing it to obviously trying to sell something.
Like, now, do you think that they came close to this? Because you say that they should have a Bible. Instead, they called Shawn Michaels.
And R-Truth is an evil preacher in the pay-per-view commercial.
Yes, he is.
But that's why I have a problem with this. Because, again, nothing's done for the right reasons. Nothing's done because, storyline-wise, this is where we've gotten to. Everything's done just because, oh, fuck, we got another one. What can we do this time to make people think that we should pay for it? And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it with everything. And not just the world title. So, I mean, I don't mind Cena, Del Rio, because Del Rio's been winning clean. He's been working really good. He's been winning clean with an arm bar. And Cena went out with his injury was an arm injury. So the psychology there makes sense. Okay, this guy's a real, real threat to Cena, but this is probably the last guy Cena wants to face because what's his move, right? So there's a psychology there that I'm like, oh, they got something right from that perspective.
You know who taught Alberto Del Rio that move? Chris Jericho. It was on his list.
It's on his list.
Armbar.
That's true.
Move number 8, armbar.
That's right. Oh, yeah. 1,000 and how many moves? What was it?
1,004. Yeah. 1,004.
Very impressive.
That was in 1997, by the way.
Yeah, that was good.
It was.
1997 was good.
It was good.
So, let's talk Cena back.
Let's talk about, I'm going to call them now, from now on, we're going to refer to them as PECs. Performance Enhancing Cenas. Suck my balls, he's not on something.
Oh, he's not only...
Captain Clean here, I mean, like,
bullshit.
Jesus Christ, I mean, like, this is twice now.
Yeah.
That it's like,
but before I always maintained that was a work, the pec thing. But but this one, it's like, I saw his injury. But what gets me is that he's on Good Morning America, and they're talking about how huge he looks. Like, theoretically, he shouldn't have been able to lift anything.
Well, that's exactly. It's not that he can come back. It's that he can come back
smaller,
the way that he looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, he hasn't come back on TV yet, but I mean...
Well,
yeah,
but he was on Good Morning America, so that's the same.
Yeah, but I mean, he could be half the size he was on Good Morning America and still look huge.
The word is that he looked huge.
But, yeah.
Looked bigger than ever.
Yeah, well, I don't know about bigger than ever, but I saw the clip of him, and he looked the same as he always does.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when I look at this, and I don't particularly see this as reeking of desperation in terms of the pay-per-view, because this was planned out a couple weeks ago when Cena was being advertised for, I think, around Christmas time, Madison Square Garden or something. Like, the plan now is this isn't he comes back and, like you said, because he hurt his arm, Del Rio armbars him and then he's out again.
No.
He's wrestling on the European tours, on all the shows he's booked for. He's back now. I'm sure... October 27th at Hell in the Cell is going to be his first match back, first appearance back.
2 to 3 months faster than he should be.
But he's back, and it's just, it's retarded.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Five.
And it wouldn't be a bad thing for the company for him to be gone for a long time. It really wouldn't.
The only positive that I could see out of this is, I mean, give him the fucking... big gold belt.
Well, I don't, if he's going to be somewhere, I don't mind that he's there. Personally, I mean, I liked it when I used to see, like when, Edge and Undertaker close up Mania with the big gold belt. When we would see Punk and Hardy, close out a pay-per-view with the big gold belt, because that belt wasn't as important as the WWE, but it was pretty close.
And it's getting there, exactly.
It's a strong 1B instead of a number 3 to a 1, like it is now. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think he actually elevates the belt instead of for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we can elevate that belt And I don't mind that they have a couple strong belts.
No, don't mind. It would be preferred, for fuck's sake.
In fact, if you do that, then I say you get rid of the IC and US belt and go to a tag team at these three and have the three belts, and that's it, and the Divas belt. Because if do that, if he has that belt and it means something, and the world belt means something theoretically, and you don't have these other belts that mean nothing.
So now, would you like do like a unification and like merge the Intercontinental and the Divas belt?
maybe. I mean, the other thing, though, I mean, you do have to think if he has that belt and they wanted to merge the world title with that belt, which I don't think they do, but if they wanted to, he's the guy you do that with, too.
That's
for
true.
For WrestleMania, it would actually mean something.
Yeah, that is true if they decided to go that way. I mean, I don't know.
Again, when you had all the brand split, you needed each a top and a mid-card belt for both companies. Without the brand split, all of a sudden four belts just means the two belts mean less. In fact, it means four belts mean less. So,
yeah.
I mean, now that you're no longer doing that, now that that's been gone for a long, long time, it's really time to get back to, you know. And then if you want to introduce the European belt down the road, but even then I don't think so.
Fuck no. Keep it simple, stupid, right?
I mean, those top two belts and a tag belt. And then people, theoretically, the tag belt becomes more important, too, because all of a sudden there's less best belts for people to hold. You'd have to do two things. You'd have to actually create feuds to fill the mid-card out because you don't have a fake belt as the phony feud. So you'd actually have to work a little harder to create feuds for these underpinning people, but also more people would want to be in a tag team, theoretically, because there's so few belts now.
That's true.
Like, there's a lot of reasons to do this.
Well, it's the old Casol principle, right? Keep it simple, Laurinaitis.
He is pretty fucking simple.
He is pretty fucking simple. Speaking of simple, are you off your rant now?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it is what it is. It's not going to be pretty. This is a time of year, though, that we knew it wasn't going to be pretty. This is, again, the time of year.
But it's worse than last year, isn't it?
I don't think
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't think it's worse than last year, only because you have two guys that I really care about this year, where last year you had one. And last year we had the promise of we knew what was going on. Right, last year we had the promise of we know it's going to be Rock and Punk at the Royal Rumble, and then Rock and Cena. We knew
that. But then
that
Ryback thing threw in the interest, I think.
I think so, and then you had the Shield come in, right? I mean, and right now, I agree with you. Like they're completely burnt out on this Orton and Bryan horse shit.
Yeah,
but
well, again, it's that. It's not just pay-per-views. It's all the other times that I've seen them interact or wrestle on Raw leading into it. It's just so fucking done. And
the thing is, we don't have a heel right now. And that's my problem, is we don't have another heel. Because I theoretically, and in what I would look at, is in my ideal perfect world, if you had a top heel, what you would do is, yes, Cena would go with Del Rio and win the big gold belt, right? Orton and Big Show would feud off of coming out of the Hell in the Cell. Bryan would be your world champion, your WWF champion, and fight somebody. But you don't have anybody.
No, you don't.
And there isn't
true.
Anybody. And there isn't anybody. And that's so, what the fuck would you do with Daniel Bryan then? Daniel Bryan would just become another fucking Maze or another fucking, you know, undercard motherfuck that with the belt.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, here's how it should be going. If they have done this right, they should have Big Show. They should have Daniel Bryan go out there and just beat Randy Orton. He wins the title from John Cena, so they decide to take their other guy that's their pick, and he faces him two pay-per-views in a row. Daniel Bryan beats him. So then they decide to themselves, okay, let's bring somebody else in. Then it doesn't matter who you bring. It could be Del Rio. It could be, I don't care, Dolph Ziggler. It could be somebody else that they think. They're just desperate to get the belt off this guy. He knocks down these challengers down one by one for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Finally, they go, okay, Big Show, you don't want to do it. But that's when they bring Big Show. That's when you do the storyline. Big Show has to go do it. Big Show also loses to him, but then it becomes, you know, Triple H and Big Show. Hey, why, yeah. You know, the reason you lost is because you're soft. You didn't want to do it. They have their match after yeah. Triple H beats Big Show and Daniel Bryan keeps on beating people. That's when you have Triple H say, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. And he gets in there and challenges him for the title at WrestleMania and puts Daniel Bryan over. That's how you fucking do it. It's not hard. It's not complicated.
It is not. It is not. But apparently it is.
And then at that point, you take in a guy like Daniel Bryan, and guess what? He's fucking beat Big Show. He's beat Cena. He's beat Orton. He's held onto the belt all these months. He is a megastar.
Yeah.
Instead of a superstar.
Instead of a superstar.
Not fucking hard. I hate them.
No, I know. It's not. It is not hard. You know, it's not also
I mean, look
not
at the,
hard.
The Shield. I mean, the Shield is arguably the third or fourth highest, most over act on the card right now.
They've lost
five matches since they've been here?
Yeah, I have the most interest right now in Shield versus the Rhodes brothers.
Yeah, and they've hardly lost, which is why I actually had a huge issue with the Rhodes here beating the Wyatt family.
I
mean, I know it's the main event of SmackDown, but why can't they beat? I mean, sure, they should beat somebody. They could beat the Real Americans.
Prime Time Players is a Real American.
The Real Americans.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell, they could beat the Usos in a babyface only match since the Usos are the number one contender. Shake their hands afterwards. Go, fuck, you guys are the best. You're going for it. You know, it's your time. It's over. You don't beat the guys. Those guys should stay undefeated and built up for a long time. So
they could beat Los Locales.
It was a huge mistake to have, because short term the roads don't mean much. So I mean, you got to think long term. So short term you get them over, but not at the expense of a long term act like what the Wyatts should be looked at.
Well, no, exactly, and yeah, because short term it's the roads to build that up because it seems like Vince is now open to the idea of the Mega Rhodes explode at WrestleMania.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Goldust goes heel.
And
you get Goldie against Cody at WrestleMania. That seems to be that's again every pencil has an eraser, but that's the idea right now. So Los Locales. Did you see these guys?
Well, I seen Los Locale on the one guy when it was.
No, that's El Locale.
El Locale, yeah.
This is Los Locales who lost to the Matadors.
Yeah,
it's Ricardo and TJ.
What?
Yeah.
Tyson Kidd.
Tyson Kidd is also under a hood, and him and Ricardo.
I hope it was just to put those guys over once.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Although I do like the idea of you slap it. I mean, that would be decent enough for Sin Cara, but if he was going to stick around, it'd stick him with Ricardo under a mask. Because, like, Ricardo's done. As, like, this whole RVD thing.
Well,
like,
RVD's done, right? So, I mean, that was his. Well, that whole thing that made no sense.
Yeah. Well, It's
okay, because Ray really wants to come back, and he's looking to come back at the end of October.
Yeah, so you stick...
Plus, Damian Sandow's now a babyface.
What the fuck?
What are you doing? There's nothing about this act, you assholes, that says, this guy will make a good babyface. Not one fucking thing. Plus, why bother turning somebody who's lost 4,000 matches in a row? What's it going to matter?
Well, that's what they do, though. When you're going to turn, you lose. But
idiots.
To me, though, the bigger thing is, like, when did this happen?
What?
When did he turn babyface?
He turns babyface on SmackDown.
I know, but, like, how? Like, it doesn't, oh, like, I'm reading it, like, makes oh, no sense.
No, it made no sense at all. Del Rio is asking for, what was it? He wanted an easy match.
Yeah,
and, Damian Sandow comes out and says, "I'm not cashing it in, but I still want a shot."
Yeah,
and as he's leaving the ring, Del Rio attacks him, and then he wrestles like a babyface in the match, and that's it. That's the big fucking turn. Like you know how they used to, you know, tease things and build things and give subtle hints and for months.
Yeah, or I mean, even in the mid card, they used to be able to do like if one guy, if they have a disagreement and the guy gets attacked, like, well, fuck, Brutus the Barber Beefcake turned babyface because the Dream Team just left him, and then out of nowhere he came and helped Piper.
Yeah,
I mean that was not really explained, but it could take off. But I mean, it's still like there's nothing like you said redeeming about this character. I mean, it would be like the genius was never a babyface.
No. God,
you know, and for good reason. And I mean, I giggle at Sandow and his promos.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him a babyface.
As a condescending prick.
Yes.
I think he's funny. But that's not babyface. And especially if you do, I mean, if you are going to put the belt on Cena, I don't know that you are. But I mean, if you then have Del Rio, is this then him? Well, that's actually the only other thing that I could see. Now that we say that, I thought about this earlier. The only thing on the ride home, I thought, this is the only other thing I could see. Because he's fighting God. He's fighting the almighty John Cena, right? If John Cena, if somehow Del Rio gets disqualified.
Yes.
And John Cena then beats the fuck out of him and stretches him and then gives him an AA. Sandow, then the newly babyfaced Sandow can roll in.
Sandow, the guy they've been talking about for a while, the guy who's going to cash it in a fail, clean.
But Cena could, you know, could set the table for him.
You know what else would be an ultimate babyface if he gets Del Rio gets disqualified on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
If Sandow comes out and hands this briefcase to Cena, says "fuck that, take your other shot," he gets it and pins him and gets the belt. Like that would be a real babyface move, right?
That's true. And
you
then
have
you can
to
hold
keep
it
in
up.
Mind.
The then you hold that
I mean,
up.
I mean, John Cena, the second they announced them, Vicky announced them, booze.
Booed, yeah. Yeah, so maybe Sandow handing him the briefcase isn't going to be a babyface
No,
move.
Exactly. It might not be. Because he's people fucking.
I doubt it would
in
be.
In fact, if Cena won the belt and Sandow came out and cashed in immediately on him and won it, that would be a babyface move.
That would be like Edge. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is true.
People hate that fucker. And it's hard not to.
I know. Well, no, I know. I mean, even though Ric Flair taught him to drink.
Ric Flair's also mentioned. I don't know what he's on.
Yeah,
he's not. He's on fucking something. Bullshit.
Speaking of drinking.
Yeah.
Well.
What happened? I didn't hear this story.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, I don't. What happened?
Well, Michael Hayes, I guess, is part of his return from his suspension a few years ago from Mark Henry. For those who don't know, Michael Hayes told Mark Henry that he, Michael Hayes, is more of a Nigerian than him.
That's true.
Now, so he got publicity, and so Michael Hayes got sent home. He eventually got brought back, although not as a vice president that he was. He just got back in terms of like a creative director or whatever the fuck called.
Yeah.
A lot less salary, a lot less money, but brought back. Part of that was that he wasn't allowed to go out drinking while on work nights, basically.
Yeah.
While on the road with the company.
But every night a work night?
Well, I mean, he gets two nights off a week or whatever. Maybe. He can do whatever he wants. But when he's out with the company, he can't go out and do that. Well, guess what he did? And so now he's gone home for personal reasons.
Oh, really?
Been sent home for personal reasons. Taking his place. Oh, you didn't know. The Road Dog has now been kind of elevated up in that. We talked about that maybe, a month ago now?
Yeah, that's right.
The Road Dog's starting to take on a little bit more of a role in terms of book and house shows and getting some creative input. Well, his stock's come up, and he's basically, for now at least, kind of replaced Hayes in that role. Yeah. So, which, again, he's a Hunter boy.
Oh, yeah.
So Hunter transitions, you know, Road Dog's getting a benefit, right?
I love the shoot interview they did years ago when they both left. Before they – I think they might have been – well, I mean, what's his name? Kip Sopp there. Billy Gunn was not it.
Monty Sopp.
Monty Sopp, that's it. Kip was, I don't know, like his first wrestling name or something. But,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But anyways, he was – they did this thing. He wasn't even in TNA yet. But I believe that – Road Dogg was over in TNA, part of with R-Truth and Conan, part of their little their little 3MB thing, whatever the hell they were called there.
Three Live Crew.
But anyways, they did this shoot interview with the Outlaws. And I'll never forget it because they bring up Hunter. And all of a sudden you hear Billy Gunn. He's like, fuck Hunter. Biggest fucking asshole I've ever met in my entire fucking life. And he just slams into him, says like the worst shit. And you see Road Dogg's just sitting there really uncomfortable. Not saying anything, just kind of nodding a little bit. And I'm just like, guilt by association. Yeah, so I guess that didn't stick around, though.
It didn't, because Mr. Billy Gunn, very complimentary things to say on that Triple H DVD.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah.
Not a phony at all. Now that he's employed by them. Nothing but great shit about Hunter.
Yeah.
Not like when he talked about when Hunter broke his arm. He's fucking motherfucker. It's just hilarious.
Oh, fuck, that's funny. But yeah, that's the behind the scenes story right now is the rise of the Road Dogg. I'm just trying to think of what else we have.
We'll talk about ultimate stupidity. Can we talk a little about Ken Shamrock? Just because he says he's blackballed from the industry.
Right.
Yeah, he says that he.
We should have led with Ken Shamrock being blackballed to transition into Michael Hayes.
Yes, it's true. Damn. That as soon as I said that, I was thinking the same thing.
Jesus.
Michael Hayes is...
Missed opportunities.
So he says he's blackballed from the industry. You know, TNA won't hire him, and he's ready to come back. He's done, finally done fighting. He's in the best shape of his life. And he doesn't know why, TNA, or he said, or even better yet, WWE, so he can finally get that belt. He just doesn't get why they won't give him a chance. He's 49.
Yeah.
He's 49! I wonder why they won't give you a chance, dumbass.
I know. Speaking of which, related story.
He should want to go to TNA. At least there is no, no sort of policy that, look at John Cena, clean guys like him in WWE, and how could he compete with them, you know?
Ryback.
Yeah.
Big traps.
Fucking idiot. You're so fucking stupid if you don't get why they don't want you, Shamrock. You made your bed. You made a lot of money in MMA. You made the right choice to go to it because you made all that money. You got famous. Yeah. You're done.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure he's done what a lot of other people have done. He doesn't have that money, right? Which is why he was sticking around. But there was a couple interviews that way because they said Ken Shamrock did the interview saying that he was blackballed from the industry. Earlier in the week, Mel Phillips did an interview saying he was blueballed from the industry.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly likes both blue balls and black balls.
It's true. It's true. She's not. She doesn't see color.
That's it. Eric, I didn't know this. So what's his name? Tori Wilson is dating Alex Rodriguez?
Yes, so, I know.
But it makes sense. I mean, she's already used to being with guys on steroids.
Exactly. So. Exactly. I'm pretty sure that's where he got them.
Probably. Yes. She's his hookup.
Yes.
Can you call that Scott Steiner guy for me?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that she rebounded and landed on her feet after Billy Kidman married The Undertaker.
Anyways, I'm just looking at the notes here. So let's talk a little about RVD. You say there's conflicting reports?
Well, there's in terms of his contract... In that there's people saying that he just signed a short term 3 month deal. Another is that he signed. Hunter's kind of given this deal where it's 3 months on, 3 months off. It's like a rolling contract.
Yeah.
That he may, but he still does need to sign it again. It's just the fact that he won't be back again until like. Whether he signed the contract or he didn't sign the contract, which right now he hasn't signed the contract, either way, he wasn't going to be back until January
for the
Royal Rumble, do the Mania push, take another 3 months, kind of come back at that Money in the Bank deal again to get a push out for, say, SummerSlam, and then...
So it's kind of like what Jericho has, but a little more organized, it sounds.
A little more structured, exactly. Yeah. Like Jericho or almost like a Lesnar without, but RVD not being under contract for those 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, not at all. And I guess
he doesn't have to sign that contract, right?
No, exactly.
He probably can't wrestle anywhere else, but maybe he could. Maybe he can do independence. Because he's not going to go to TNA. And he's, the thing is, he's not pleased with how he was booked, and he's right. They booked him really shitty.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on what RVD wants to do. Does he want to make money, or does he want to be booked? And I mean, that's just it.
The thing the is, best thing, if he wanted, he can make money working in Japan and on the indies. He'll make good, decent money. So.
Oh, sure. The thing with WWE is that they always have that 90-day non-compete anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 months on, 90 days is 3 months off, and then you're back. And quite frankly, if you're RVD right now, you take that 3 months off, and then you go and you do the Rumble Mania, make your big payday, right? Take some more time off, and then come back again. I mean, makes sense. I mean, booked properly, not booked properly. Let's be frank here. Nobody's being booked properly. So it's not that they fucked up RVD. It's that they haven't done anything right.
I wouldn't say nobody is.
Well, let's say 10%.
Yeah, 10% is being booked.
So,
properly,
I mean, so I don't look at it like, oh, they fucked up RVD. It's just like, oh, RVD got the same as pretty much everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but I think it's just a slap in the face to him from the perspective of he thought, this is going to be better, that they'll use me better in TNA, and then they didn't. And he's just like, oh,
well, yeah,
fuck, it's
apparently
the same
on the way. Apparently on the way out from the pay-per-view, a fan kind of yelled at him, said, better than TNA, and he kind of shrugged his shoulders and went, yeah, I guess.
So that's all. It's okay, if that happens, then that's all you need to know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's kind of like, no, it's not. It's the same shit. Yeah. And it is. Yeah. And it is. And that's the thing. So,
I wanted to talk about this new DVD coming out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's hit that.
Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it, so you'll be debuting for me.
I will debut this to you.
Let's see if there's any other small notes. We'll go into this. I do want to just mention, ROH is my favorite, now that I've seen one episode, my favorite wrestling show.
Okay, let's just quickly talk about ROH, because we both watched it, not at the same time, but we both have it now. It's on at like 2 in the morning, so we PVR'd it and watched it. It's even on different channels, which is kind of funny for you and I.
Yeah, it is, but...
But anyway, this show centered around the finals of the Ring of Honor tournament,
mm-hmm.
with Adam Cole winning from I didn't know if you knew this, but his name is Unbreakable Michael Elgin, yes. And if you didn't know that, all you have to do is listen to Kevin Kelly for about 5 minutes. Unbreakable Michael Elgin. Unbreakable Michael Elgin. It's like Unbreakable Michael was his first name. It's like his name is fucking Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
Elgin.
Yes.
You don't have to say Unbreakable every fucking time.
I'm trying to get that nickname over.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking hate it now.
Kevin Kelly's not very good. But the show I love.
The part about this show, though, an hour program.
Yep.
Very easy to watch.
Very easy to watch, even though we hadn't seen anything and really haven't even been paying a lot of attention to ROH coming into this.
Yeah.
Understood immediately the storyline or what they were going with. You know, I mean, like I say, it was a build towards this. You had the match, but you had
a couple of those promo, like old school.
Yeah.
Like
this is like old school wrestling. I mean, the look of it, it looks like ECW.
But you know what? Even there, the production value, I was very impressed with the look of the show. I mean, it's not your $1 million WWE slick promotional thing here, but I was impressed. It was a lot better than the, you know, the old dark red mat ring that you used to see.
Yes,
with our This is very much improved from the last
time.
Well,
it is. It's turned down the lights around the arena, hit the spotlight on the ring, and make it bright, and you know, and those guys are they come across like stars, even though it's not the big production values, like you say, because it's the way it comes. Look, and it does remind you of ECW. It's like, it's bare bones, but it's what you need. It's got that look and that feel to it. And it does have that underground anti-authority feel to it. And a lot of that comes from the fact that you open up with the incredible Briscoes, right? Who have that?
Murphy Rec.
Shit. Fuck. Shit.
But yeah, and you had those
day one
localized promos with Jay Lethal and guys like that, and just, you know, explaining their thing. You did a video recap of how did we get to the final, you know,
really
that was
well
probably about 5-6 minutes long, which is great.
Yeah.
I was a fan of the show, and I mean, it's like you said,
a simple pro wrestling show featuring good wrestling.
And I can pick it up.
Act like they give a shit about the wins and losses.
Well, he even said, Adam Cole, I think, even said, wins and losses have never mattered more.
Yeah.
I think was like his exact quote.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said, this show is like it was definitely the most watchable show of the week.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And I'll definitely be tuning in Sunday morning or whatever. I get a chance to watch it before the weekend is over. It's definitely a destination viewing on my PBR.
Oh yeah, no, it's just good shit. Very, very happy, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they go from here. And now that they stop doing iPay-per-views live, that's probably going to be good for the company too. So it's nice. I mean, I'm definitely, right away I enjoy it more than the other stuff because I'm not sitting there talking about all the shit they could be doing better. I'm just sitting there and enjoying a wrestling show, which is what I want to do. I mean, when we're sitting here and I'm bitching about Hell in a Cell, and if it sounds like I'm bitching about that referee, and you're like, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're just selling a match. It's just wrestling. And that's the thing is, I just want to enjoy it. And I don't think it's asking much to ask them to make sense. It is asking a lot to ask them to make sense and do things in continuity and have everything flow when you have 16 people in creative. But if you have a few people in creative, it's not asking much.
But it is so important.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit this DVD.
How many is it 45 matches? 45 years just to get warmed up here?
50 years.
Okay.
Of WWE. Now, there are chapters here. And I think there's about 20 chapters on this DVD. It's like a 3-hour documentary. And I've got all the chapters here. And I will warn you ahead of time that there are chapters that are going to make us feel good. And there are chapters that are going to make us regret we ever watched wrestling.
Much like Raw.
Much like Raw. So the documentary opens with a chapter called Beginnings. Mm-hmm. Makes sense?
Sure.
Then we move on to a chapter called Bruno Sammartino.
That seems like quite a jump.
Whose birthday was so important.
Yes. Fuck.
They got to do it on the break.
And
only to then show it on TV.
Yeah.
But yes. Okay. So Bruno Sammartino was then a chapter called The Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So the promotion. Then something called Stars of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes sense. You'll get your Bobo Brazils and your Chief J Strongbows and your guys like that, Wahoo and whatnot there, you know, in that ilk. Superstar Billy Graham, guys like that, Koloff. Then a chapter called Titan Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So Vince Jr. buying it from his deity. Chapter called Hulkamania.
Mm-hmm.
Hulkamania. Then a chapter is called The First WrestleMania.
Okay.
So that'll be a little bit some revisionist history, I'm sure, there.
Much like the WrestleMania DVD was.
Yeah. Saturday night's main event.
Okay.
So, again, very good there. WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
A chapter, very important. Then a chapter called Pay-Per-View Expansion. So I guess you're talking Survivor Series and stuff. Series built off of WrestleMania 3, right? It was the first time Hulk and Andre would be back in the ring. Then you had the SummerSlam after that. Here is your first, I don't know if you want to call it maddening, but it's going to be maddening when we see it, chapter, called The Steroid Trial.
Oh, fuck.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
And speaking of the steroid trial,
I just hope they get quotes from Steph Atney.
It was yes, exactly, and how this was like 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Fucking.
And then I hope they get a quote from Akeem. This was like the Twin Towers coming down, and then you could interview Akeem and go,
and
yes,
the Big Boss Man,
and then Akeem going, yes, this was like
and
me falling.
The Big Boss Man, right?
Love it. Well, no, Slick.
Oh, okay.
Slick. But, so that's steroid trial. Speaking of steroid trial, did you see who is a new member of the WWE legal counsel team?
Somebody who was there before, right?
Miss Laura Brevetti.
Who was there during that?
Who was the lead counsel for Vince along with, what's his
Jerry
name there? Jerry McDivitt. It was the two of them that got Vince off, basically.
Yeah.
Well, Laura Brevetti probably got Vince off.
I was going to say, you beat me to it. As soon as you said it, I was like, there's an opening. Ah, he took it.
Then, a chapter near and dear to our heart.
Of course, I was going to say, I thought that was Trish Stratus, but.
Yes, well, that's true. Near and dear to our heart, this chapter, because it provides us with a lot of very good show material every April. A chapter called The New Generation.
Yeah.
Then we get a chapter called Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Then one called Monday Night War.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. A chapter called Montreal.
Oh, fuck for fucks. I mean, I guess you have to.
But... You have to. Then you have a chapter called The Attitude Era.
Okay.
Okay. Then you have a chapter that is probably going to cause me to pick my TV up and throw it across the room.
Okay.
This chapter is called Tragedy in Kansas City.
Okay, what's next?
SmackDown. Expansion.
Uh-huh.
Then a chapter called Brand Extension.
Uh-huh.
So there are some comedy bits.
So I guess that's... Expansion is the acquisition of WCW and ECW?
It must be.
Seems like a weird title for it.
Yeah. WrestleMania Stadiums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably when they went from being in... They went to being stadium show only for WrestleMania.
Yeah, which would have been around WrestleMania 19.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 18 was Sky Dome. And actually 17 was there. That would have been chronologically...
Except before, for 20 for Madison Square Gardens. Except for that.
I think it was probably 21 and then... Well, no, because then they went to fucking Chicago. And then they went to fucking Los Angeles. And then they started the stadium, so it would have been 24, I think, and ever since then. But then they had something called the Hall of Fame, chapter Hall of Fame. Speaking of funny, there's a chapter called WWE Studios.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how honest they'll be.
Yeah, I know. And then... another chapter called Securing the Future.
Now that's comedy.
Something. Well, you know what? That's the training center and NXT and all that stuff that they're going to focus. They did a lot of focusing on that towards the end of the Hunter DVD as well. The Performance Center and such.
Where's
and
the then chapter called Bringing in Writers to Fuck Shit Up?
Wasn't that Tragedy in Kansas City? Then the final chapter is called 50 Years. So just your recap.
Okay.
There.
Well, we'll definitely be watching it. In fact, we should get a streamer copy from WWE.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it... I'm just trying to think of... it comes out November 19th. So it should be out relatively soon. In the next month, we should have a...
Yeah.
Have this.
Yeah.
Then we've got
rant again.
We've got some matches.
Okay.
On this is a 3-disc set, so matches from disc 2. And I love how this...
Maybe Blu-rays?
What? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. Oh, no, there's Blu-ray extras. There, well, I'll read those after. I love that the inset here on disc 2 is Hacksaw Jim Duggan getting his hand raised, I believe winning the first ever Royal Rumble. Oh, well, there you go. The disc 2, first match, Bruno against superstar Billy Graham from April 30th, 1977, a week before I was born.
All right.
Then Hogan Andre, WrestleMania 3.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to need to see that again.
Yeah. Then the first ever Royal Rumble match, from 1988 with Hacksaw Wins.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen that.
No? Well, there you go. 20 Man.
20 Man, that's right, yeah.
20 Man.
I was going to say that.
First episode of Raw, Coco Beware versus Yokozuna. So that'll be awesome. So,
yeah, it will be, because I think that was Coco when he had on the high energy pants.
Yes, he did. The green high energy pants. Then the flask match on the first disc.
Did you say the flask match?
The flask mask on the fifth. The last match on the first disc, Jake the Snake Roberts versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, King of the Ring, 1996.
Okay.
So I would assume that they have the promo after.
Yeah, I would think so.
Then we got disc three. Disc three.
Yep.
Brett and Sean, Survivor Series.
Okay.
97. Then Tyson and Austin. From Raw.
They had a match?
No, just the pull apart.
Okay, I was like, okay.
Then you had Triple H versus The Rock from SmackDown, August 26, 1999. I believe that was the first SmackDown where Shawn Michaels was the referee and super kicked The Rock and Hunter won. Defended the title, I'm pretty sure. Then you had Mr. McMahon announces the purchase of WCW.
Okay.
The simulcast, I guess. Then Rock and Hogan from WrestleMania 18. Then the Battle of the Billionaires. Lashley and Umaga.
Uh-huh.
Then six-man tag team match. Oh, from Tribute to the Troops. Surprise, there's no Tribute to the Troops
chapter,
actually. But, like, military stuff. But Cena, Batista, and Rey against Jericho, Big Show, and Orton. So, whatever that is. Then the next one is the
two
Punk.
Stars.
Yeah. The Punk promo.
Mm-hmm.
Is next. Then the final match on disc three is the what I think is the 2013 match of the year, John Cena and CM Punk.
Okay. You mean the Raw match?
The Raw match, yeah, the pile driver match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh my God, this is going to be excellent. We need to get the Blu-ray.
Well, so far, considering the other one sucks.
The Blu-ray, okay. The Blu-ray extras?
Yeah.
Okay. The first one? Reporting the News.
What?
It's called Reporting the News. I don't even know.
I don't either.
I don't even know. But the next one may even top that.
Okay.
Jimmy Valiant on Vince Sr.
Oh, that could be great.
I want to hear the Boogie Woogie Man cut a promo on Vince Sr.
Well, he'll be kissing his ass.
Yeah, but I hope he's not wearing a shirt.
Does he ever?
Mr. Burns on Vince Sr.
Oh, boy. It's been so long. I mean, even the last time we saw him, that footage was old.
Yeah, I know. That was like, 90s footage.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Well, Jimmy Valiant actually looking about the same as he did in the 90s on that Memphis DVD.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
He did wear a big red shirt.
Ah,
but,
that sucked.
I know.
Right, he did.
But
well, here's also
the next chapter on our next Blu-ray extra called Bankruptcy.
Okay.
That's interesting. Next one, Titan Sports.
What was it called again before it was Titan Sports when it was WWF?
Capital.
Capital, that's it. Capital Entertainment Capital Sports?
Capital Sports, yeah. I think Capital Sports and Entertainment, actually.
Yeah,
the Titan Sports. The next extra is called Promo Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that is. But, and then the last story, or the last chapter extra, I guess, that's not a match, is called WWE Universe.
Oh, fuck. I guess. Fuck.
Yes.
So this sounds really shitty.
Has two matches on it, on this extra. Floyd Money Mayweather against the Big Show. And The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels 1.
From WrestleMania. Okay, so what are the things that they've apparently missed that you wish had a chapter?
Authority figures.
Oh, shit. Really?
I want to hear some classic Jack Tunney. But I mean, yeah, Jack Tunney, Edgar Monsoon. I mean, you could do a chapter on it.
Sure. You know what I want to hear? I would love to hear about XFL promoting the Sugar Ray Rob or Sugar Ray Leonard fight, the restaurant, the
Isn't that under bankruptcy?
I don't think so, because they weren't bankrupt then.
I know.
But that's what I'd like to hear about is XFL and all this shit that you know. Like that. Like I say, there was the restaurant, there was the what else?
There was the boxing restaurant, there was the XFL, there was World Bodybuilding Federation.
Yeah.
Ico Pro, you gotta want it.
Yeah. All that stuff. I'd like to hear talk about that. Because I think that's a big part of their story.
Yeah. The one thing I really am interested in hearing is, like, this is one of the DVDs that Bruno Sammartino sat down and cut interviews for as well.
And there's no – didn't you say there was no Bruno match that you listed there? I mean, there's no early matches, was there?
There was a Bruno the week before I was born. Bruno against superstar Billy Graham.
Oh, that's right. What about a Backlund match? How about some of the tag team action when it was hot and heavy there in the 80s?
Backlund?
Or the 70s?
Backlund?
How about, you know, like as far as like the matches, how about finding me some hidden gems I haven't seen a million times? Some of those ones that reminded me about. How about finding me some Buddy Rogers and this shit? How about some of that stuff? That's what I would like to see.
But that's not what this is about. I mean, yeah, Buddy Rogers, the older stuff, sure. But this isn't about stuff you've never seen before. This is about the big moments.
But you know what? Bruno Sammartino versus Larry Zbyszko was a pretty big fucking moment.
Yeah, they did gloss over that here. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's part of Titan Takeover, and who knows how it's going to
mold. The match isn't there.
No, the huge matches
in the 70s. The tag team matches when they were huge. And
Is there not a Bruno Sammartino DVD in the works?
Yeah, I suppose, but still.
I mean, you know, like I would hold that off. But I would do maybe you don't want to do Andre and Hogan from Shea because you want to do the WrestleMania 3 and play into that gimmick that it was, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, bullshit.
I can see why.
Yeah.
To me, it's going to be like the steroid trial, the WWE studios, you know. And as I said, that fucking Owen Hart thing is going to make me angry. I can already tell.
So I'm looking forward to watching it with you then. I like it when you get angry. All right, let's go through Punk quickly here and Brian. I don't know if we're going to have time to do them both because we only got about 40 minutes left to record here.
But, yes. Okay. Well, yeah, I know. Well, here. Okay. You sort of give the background. I'm gonna go with the dog out really quick. Give the background as to what we want to discuss here.
Okay. Basically, like I say, we're gonna be doing this largely from memory. I will be sitting there, and I'm gonna just kind of quickly go over the major career highlights since they've been there, and then Addy's gonna kind of give an opinion on at this point if they're doing the right thing with him. If they're doing the wrong thing with him, and this relates to, we'll do them individually, both Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And at this point, are we sitting there? Are they doing the right thing with them? And how has this led us to where we ultimately are? Thanks for that, Addy.
Moons you.
Yeah, for that.
You're welcome.
And because ultimately these guys aren't the mega stars that they should be. And what has led us to that point? So how do we get there? So let's start with CM Punk. I mean, CM Punk, he first shows up in ECW, doing backstage promos, talking about how he's straight edge and his only real addiction is competition. The first time he comes out to a very, very big pop is to feud with actually to save Kelly, I believe, from Mike Knox. And that's his initial debut within the WWE on the ECW brand on Sci-Fi. Where do we sit with him at this point?
I believe he came out and saved R-Truth from Mike Knox.
Oh, really? I thought it was Kelly Kelly. Because she was dating. Oh. That was his girlfriend.
Right. Yes. No, no. I mean, just this past Monday on Raw.
Oh.
That's where we stand now.
I know. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, Punk went through the ringer in terms of, again, I mean, anybody watches DVD, followed his career. I mean, you know, his only addiction was competition. He was a guy that I mean, they've told the story even in the past year that Paul Heyman was really high on, wanted to bring him to ECW.
He wanted to cut him.
Let him be on ECW, push for him to be on ECW, was pushing for him, not Lashley, to win the December to Dismember debacle, the title. And,
yeah, I mean, I'll get there, but just as far as his debut, how are they doing at this point?
Oh, I thought you meant his debut. I mean, so far, yeah, his debut was fine in terms of this is
fine.
His debut was fine because it was we knew that this was a guy, given his size and everything, was going to have to pay his dues to get to the top.
Now, in fact, at the time he's coming out, he's getting a big reaction from the WWE universe, before it was called that then. And, you know, the thing is that, say he'd pay his dues, obviously they did. He was getting a huge reaction. They didn't really want that necessarily. I mean, or at least they didn't see him as a star, right? And if you're not getting the reaction they necessarily want, that's not good. So I wouldn't say they actually necessarily tried to bury him. But, I mean, the guy that they brought over to the ECW brand to be the star was Bobby Lashley, who had been on SmackDown, and he got drafted over to the ECW. And that led to the Hell in the Cell, or not Hell in the Cell, sorry, the Elimination Chamber match. Big Show was in it. Can't remember who else was in it. It doesn't really matter. It was the ECW guys. And the crowd had picked CM Punk at that point as the guy. And regardless of what, you know, I mean, you have to keep in mind that Hunter and Shawn Michaels, both of them, backstage jokingly referred to CM Punk as the King of the Indies in a, mm-hmm. You know, mocking way. So when the crowd picked Bobby Lashley, instead they put Bobby Lashley out at that December to Dismember Elimination Chamber immediately. The crowd did shit on the rest of the match.
They took out Punk, you mean?
Yeah, they took out Punk immediately. The crowd shit on the rest of the match. How are we doing now?
Well, now you're getting into, you know, it's not that good, obviously. I mean, it's to be the first out to keep Bob Holly in, and yeah, I mean, Lashley ultimately was going to win. I guess he still had the Big Show and RVD who were bigger stars, but yeah, I mean, it was, you're starting to lose Punk at this point. He's starting to go from a featured mid-card guy on ECW to being lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was still into him, but it didn't matter. They didn't want him, like I say.
No, he's like a Matt Hardy.
That's a good way to put it. Now, that said, they immediately at this point, you see Bobby Lashley leaves for a third time now, and it's a couple minutes. And you should see him running like a little bastard across his hallway, looking to like let the dog in and out anyways. he's very pleased with himself now as he's let the dog back in, folks.
Yes, yes. Well, it's raining like a motherfucker out there.
Oh, is it? On your end? Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So I...
You should move.
Oh, move.
CM Punk at this point, when Lashley gets drafted over to Raw, CM Punk does get a chance to take on Morrison basically for the ECW belt for a little while. Yeah. They have their little feud, and of course the whole Benoit thing happens about that time too. He ends up over on Raw where he's tag teaming with Kofi and tag team belts, mid-card guy, not really going well, having really good matches with guys like Jericho, but they're without any build or without any major feud. Like you say, lost in the shuffle. Then he gets the Money in the Bank. And we didn't know what it meant because the Money in the Bank was so new that we didn't realize if he was going to cash in and win it or not. We didn't know what really that where they were going with that. So kind of where do you see him at about the point where he wins the Money in the Bank?
Well, yeah, I mean, him winning Money in the Bank was kind of out of the blue at that point. And back then, Money in the Bank isn't as much as it is now where they feel they need to get cute with the Money in the Bank. It was like Edge. This was the second Money in the Bank, wasn't it?
I think it was the second one, yeah.
Second or third, but I mean, it was...
RVD, I think, was the second winner.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, or third or fourth then, because didn't Mr. Kennedy win it at some point, and then
Edge... That was after, but it might have been before. You're probably right.
Either way. Yeah. But it meant a lot more, yeah. Is kind of the point, is that this meant like,
didn't really
holy shit. But then you kind of looked at, because this was the third or fourth one, going, okay, so this is the one where they're going to have the guy not win.
Yeah.
That was kind of the reaction. It's like, oh, it's good that he won. He's going to be kind of put in a little bit of a better spot. But ultimately, he's not going to win.
Well, the one thing is that it was after RVD. And RVD had the good babyface, Sam cashing in on this date. Punk was a babyface, so the assumption was he's going to do the same thing. Now, how this played out is that Batista and Edge had a feud. Edge got drafted over to Raw. He was still champion of the SmackDown brand, and on his way out before Batista, who had been beating him but never ever get the belt, beating him up, finally he gets his hand on him in Raw and just lays the shit out of him on the stage.
Yeah.
Hit CM, like nobody knew what that meant. You just thought that it was Batista getting the belt, but you thought the Raw was going to have both belts now. That was the interesting thing. Hit the music. Actually, had he been – he drafted over to SmackDown, I guess, the other way around, right?
Something like that, yeah. Both the belts were going to be on one brand.
On one brand. Hit the music. CM Punk comes out, cashes in the Money in the Bank. Crowd goes nuts and wins the title. Heel move, but on a hated heel. The crowd was still popping like crazy. He has the belt. First title reign. The cashing it in and first title reign. How's he doing now? How are they doing with him?
Well, I mean, this is still a situation where he got the belt basically to protect the briefcase gimmick only. He quickly, you know, the belt became kind of a mid-card. He feuded with JBL for, I think, 2 months.
Now, did he eventually defend it against Hunter and lose it, or?
No, he had JBL for 2 months. Okay. And that's where JBL referenced a lot of Ring of Honor, saying, you know, you're not in this little rinky-dink, rec center
that's
promotion.
Right. That's where he was trying to get him to drink. He was trying to get him to
yes.
drink.
Straight and, trying to get him a yeah. drink. And then he was, then at an Adam Lee original was the scramble match.
That's right.
And CM Punk got punted by Randy Orton in a backstage interview. That... caught with Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and Manu.
That's right.
Taking a break from your sister to be on pay-per-view and attacking CM Punk. This caused Chris Jericho to get in to the scramble match.
That's right.
And win the title and put the title where it should be, involved in that wonderful Shawn Michaels Chris Jericho feud of the year.
That's right.
There with the ladder match coming up in a couple of months after coming out of there. So that's really, and that's when Punk became a tag team with Kofi.
That's right.
And his revenge was beating the Rhodes and DiBiase for the tag titles.
That's right.
Where then they started to just flounder and kind of that. They were the tag champions, but they weren't.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, you're a tag champion at that point. You're in the mid-cards, you know. He wins the next Money in the Bank, though, again. At this point, Jeff Hardy has taken off. He's elevated to the point where he has the world. He gets the world title.
Yes. Beating Edge.
And they had a ladder match, I believe. Was it a ladder match?
Yeah, we went to the theater.
Theater to watch that one.
Up by my house now.
Yeah.
When we lived down in the south, because the only plan I remember, because I got the vodka to put into our drinks.
We would never
there.
Do that.
And yeah, we poured them in our Coke, and we were hammered, and cheering on the well, it was Jeff Hardy won, and this was a great time on SmackDown in terms of match quality, because you had Edge and Jeff Hardy with such a long backstory,
and early in the night that night, I believe his very last match that he had before passing away. And leaving the WWF, maybe not Umaga, or at least at the time he was fired or something like that. It was his last match.
Yeah,
for
he was
a while.
Fired because
that was
he
his first firing, wasn't it?
Two strikes, wouldn't go to rehab, got fired.
Yeah, CM Punk beats Umaga as a babyface. Then he comes out on the lovable Jeff Hardy and cashes in the briefcase to turn heel. Though it's a subtle heel turn, it isn't immediate heel. Then he's got heel mannerisms, some babyface mannerisms coming out of that, and that leads to that feud. This is, to me, where he first really found, though, when he finally turned, his character got interesting. Work had been pretty good, and he's definitely charismatic, but his character wasn't really that interesting because they wouldn't let him be interesting. So this is where he starts to get interesting that way.
Yes, this is where he got, for lack of a better word, he really got a WWE character, where he was being featured, being able to cut promos, having some depth to him, was able to go out and show what he could do. And you're right, and it was great because you knew he was going to turn on Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't quite know when. And so you could build and see, and this is that whole
thing. Well, we've been
thing
waiting for a babyface to turn heel we were waiting for that to happen.
But this Punk, even Punk, you could tell it was going. You could see where it was going, and this is when wrestling is good, is when you can see where it's going and you want it to happen.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like the, when is Shawn going to kick Cena, with the super kick leading to WrestleMania there? When is it going to happen? We know it's going to happen when, right?
Yeah,
go home show, boom, perfect. Yes. So that's what this was. And then finally, I remember Punk dressing up like Hardy.
Yes,
coming
yes.
out with the face paint thing and doing the whole mannerisms and then rubbing the, taking the paint off and calling them sheep. That was really good. They had a cage match. I believe it was it on SmackDown?
I think it was,
finally,
yeah.
They had a cage.
Just as Hardy's on his way out, actually.
Yeah, this was Hardy, getting the drug arrest.
Yeah.
Just before the drug arrest, but his contract was up, and they Punk and Jeff
like
Hardy.
Said, they would actually because the belt meant enough, and because they knew that it was going to be a better match than what Cena was having, they would main event pay per views. At that point, and that's remarkable. To think now, of course, Hardy was very over though. He was arguably the biggest superstar in wrestling at that point too, so that did help, but.
Yeah, and also Hardy and Punk, not friends.
No, neither is Matt. And a lot of that came out of this. And a lot of that is because when he was arrested, he brought that up. And that's where they felt that he went too far. But, okay, so we come out of that. Who did he defend against? Is this where he defends against Ray, or is that later on? See, this is where it gets kind of muddy for me. This area, even though it was interesting, I mean, I know we had the Straight Edge Society then. He was the heel. Now he was the heel guy who was straight edge and in your face about it. So you had, you had Serena and you had, Knox.
Luke Gallows. And
Joey Matthews.
Matthews was in the summer. Matthews was, he lost to Ray Hair versus Mask.
That's right, yeah.
And then he put a mask on himself.
That's right.
And then had a feud with the Big Show.
Yes.
With the mask
on.
Oh,
and he was almost a comedy character at this point.
Yes, because Big Show then ripped the mask off him for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
On television.
They really fucked that up.
Yeah.
So at this point, even though he had finally found a character, he was being booked pretty shitty.
He showed what he could do. It was almost like the... two steps forward, one step back for Punk.
Yeah.
This is kind of the story of his career. This was the winning the title and turning heel was the one step, two steps forward.
Yep.
And then he had to take a step back. Like you said, it was becoming a comedy guy and getting the comedy group basically at the time. It did, and after
he had
that.
Matches with Ray, though.
The matches, again, this is a situation where the matches never really were bad. I mean, it's a big show. They weren't the greatest. But he never was put in a situation where he had to carry a bad opponent at this point consistently.
Yeah.
And this was also when he was in the Straight Edge Society, start of the seeds planted for the first time of Punk in Austin.
Yes, that's true, actually.
Where he would cut promos, you know, whenever there was, you know, Legends Night on Raw, or it was always on Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
There's an old photo of him with when he's a high schooler, with him where he was getting Austin's autograph, and it's like him and his family with Steve Austin. It's interesting because he's like 15, he's got spiked hair, and he's skinny as hell.
Blonde hair. Yeah.
Maybe I'll find that for the show photo now, because...
No. Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, moving on to this, then I think he becomes in charge of Nexus, and then...
Well, that becomes a convoluted deal, yeah.
Yeah, like he's in charge of Nexus, and then they almost look like they're going to set up Nexus versus the other group that they had, the Core, that never really happens. He feuds with Randy Orton about this time.
Randall Keith
that,
Orton.
That ends up being... I mean, he had a WrestleMania match with Ray, he had a WrestleMania match with Orton... But he's just a heel until the promo.
Yeah, then he cuts the promo.
Okay.
And, you know, anybody listening to this already, you know, we don't have to go into a lot of detail, but they know about the promo.
Yeah.
You know, do I have your attention now? That's when Punk really became, prominent. That was his five steps forward.
So, you know, they also took five steps back, right? How did that happen?
Well, they took six steps back.
Okay.
Basically, what happened, yes, he cut the promo.
Tons of momentum, a buzz.
Hottest thing in the world.
Not huge buy rate or ratings yet. But the buzz is there.
Not ratings. The buy rate for Money in the Bank was good. It was really good for that year.
Great. Good.
Well, no, but better, but good.
Yeah.
And you know, great crowd, played out, you know, very unique. Again, the buzz there, Punk, you know, quote-unquote, not under contract, taking the belt, going home. This is where you saw John Laurinaitis is starting in a little bit as an on-air character. And then Vince come back the next night on Raw. I think it was the next night on Raw, or a couple weeks later on Raw, 2 weeks later maybe on Raw, and said, we got to move on. Punk's gone. Fuck Punk. We're going to have a tournament.
Yes, Ray wins the tournament, loses that same night after winning the tournament to Cena in a great match.
Yes.
And then CM Punk comes back too soon.
That's when Vince tells Ray that he's very happy that Ray finally won the WWF title.
That's right. That was,
yes. and then Cena wins, and then Cena wins, and then, yes, and then Cult of Personality plays for the first time on, well, not the first time on WWF television, because they played it for some Steve Austin, ironically, promos. I think going him into the Hall of Fame, was Austin's song for the Hall of Fame. But Cult of Personality plays for Punk for the first time with the white t-shirt that he wore in Money in the Bank is where he debuted that one. That was a special one because it actually said, like, Chicago 7/19/11 or whatever, you know, the date was on the back of it for the Money in the Bank one rather than just the generic back white. But he comes back way too soon.
The mistakes here to me are threefold. Interaction with Nash that never turns out anywhere and does not come across good on, even though he's owning Nash, what Nash says. It buries him too much, even though he's noting
the text.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead, LOL.
So
WTF.
So the interaction with Nash, the pedigree at the pay-per-view clean to Hunter, to the CEO at the time, and of course coming back way too soon. Shortly after that, he does get the belt, and he holds on to it for a long, long time.
For 400 and whatever it was.
But the truth is, even though he held on to it, and he's a bigger star because of this, I kind of want to go in because I want to get out to Dan O'Brien here. But the truth is, he has, and he gets into the matches with The Rock, and now he gets in there with The Undertaker and Lesnar, And it's the point where he's definitely thus one of the number two star probably in the company. I don't think there's any question on this anymore. But the question is, but the thing is, he never regained, like, there was the moment. Yeah. After that, it's like he's done great because he's been pushed as a star, and he's good. But there was only one moment, and the moment is where they fucked up.
Yes. And now he's Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And he's not Austin or Rock. We also did gloss over the fact that he, as champion after Jeff Hardy, when Jeff Hardy left, he goes into a feud with The Undertaker.
That's right.
Culminating in Hell in the Cell, which he lost the title because when they were over in Europe, Punk's trying to dress different, and Taker says, you got to dress up and wear a suit and tie.
You're a champion.
And Punk, you're a champion, and Punk goes, well, Cena's wearing jean shorts.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like,
gets back to the office, boom, Punk loses.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, okay, let's move on to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan debuts as the, who was it? Who was his mentor, actually? I don't even remember.
Who?
The Miz,
Daniel Bryan,
right?
On NXT, The Miz, yeah.
The Miz. The Miz is his mentor in that first season. The very first night of NXT, he's the main event match against the man who's the mentor of Wade Barrett and Chris Jericho. He takes a crazy, crazy bump through the ropes onto the table, landing on his back, and one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen. Have a very good match, and the whole time Cole's burying him. And so Daniel Bryan's NXT tenure, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, yeah, it was set up for, I mean, NXT was that was fucked up because, that was more Michael Cole. The problem with that, it was Michael Cole being an annoying fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, what it was, that was the start of the Michael Cole heel announcer thing, and Daniel Bryan was just kind of the catalyst for that. Is it Daniel Bryan or Michael Cole was set to bury him? You know, he was Hunter and Schultz.
Bury him.
King of the Indies, you know, doesn't have a TV, is a vegan, what a fuck, all this stuff, right? And that was just it. But then, you know, that was one of the stupider things to happen to WWE, just like, period.
Yeah.
Not even, you know, not even that to do with Daniel Bryan, but just period. So as opposed to Punk, where they put Punk in the mid-card and kind of let him simmer at first, Bryan started off with a major handicap.
Yeah.
And that he was, he was just
buried. Punk is still beating Knox and people like that, right?
Exactly. He's in a mid-card. He's not being buried, but he's not being featured. He's just there so we could get to know
him. He's not getting the push of his reaction. But he's not being buried.
He's just being left there for us to get to know him. And Daniel Bryan, immediately upon entering WWE, we are immediately told, this guy's a fuck.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true.
Now, Nexus forms coming out of NXT.
Right.
They attack John Cena. Among that attack is Daniel Bryan. Takes off the tie of Justin Roberts.
Well, he doesn't take it off. He keeps it on and chokes him with it.
Was it Roberts he choked, not CM Punk?
It was Roberts.
Or not John Cena?
It was Justin Roberts.
Oh, that's right.
Grabbed the tie.
But he was,
and kind of
all the guys were beating him up. But he was the guy who was right in John Cena's face when they were beating up Cena, yelling, you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me?
That's right.
I was like, this is going to be great. I can't wait to watch them wrestle. And then he was fired for, you're right, choking out.
For doing a camel clutch to Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts sticking his tongue out, selling it really well. But the fact is, Mattel, I think it was, got pissed.
They had just really become the PG and signed this big deal, and he, even though it's not his fault, got the blame and got fired.
Yeah, that's,
at this point we didn't really know if he was coming back or not. Word was he's coming back, they're just waiting for the heat to go, and he did wrestle like over in Dragon Gate and that type of thing, but there was a lot of talk that, because he was supposed to be in Dragon Gate, he was supposed to be the lead guy of that promotion. When it first was started up. In fact, it was supposed to be an MMA-style promotion that he was the star of, that he was supposed to get started from Ring of Honor upon Sapolsky leaving. So
that's right.
He did some things there. There was a lot of talk, is he going to go to TNA? Does TNA want him? They should really want him. He's just being on TV. Never happens. He ends up coming back, making the return as the surprise babyface member of the SummerSlam squad.
Yes.
Does that make him a star? At that point, does he seem like a star?
Well, he's gaining some momentum. He's gaining some momentum for a couple of reasons. Upon his absence, the chant of Daniel Bryan, clap, 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 that amongst the hardcores, and it's kind of spreading.
Yes.
A bit here. And it's still, I mean, Nexus was a really good summer
angle.
It was a
sense he had gotten fucked, and he had.
And WWE was riding a bit of a high because Nexus was a really good summer angle. The heel group was really strong still going into SummerSlam. They had taken out all these guys. I'm trying to remember who Team WWF even was. It was Cena. It was Bret Hart was on the team. Yep. I want to say Jericho. Maybe even Kofi. And then they needed one more guy.
Honestly, I remember. I don't even remember Cena. I remember Bret Hart. And
yeah, it was Cena. Remember that Super Cena? Because that's when it was like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
Remember Super Cena got killed and popped right back up, and that was it.
Yeah.
And we had, it may have been, but anyway, it was, I'm pretty sure it was Morrison, Morrison, Jericho, Cena, Bret Hart, and then you need another fifth guy. And the thing was The Miz was saying, yeah, I'll be your guy.
I'll be your guy.
And instead, you know, with Miz out there, they picked Daniel Bryan.
That's right.
Who was, and again, so you could kind of go with the whole, well, what the fuck? And then Miz was the Intercontinental Champion or U.S. Champion, U.S. Champion at this time. And so Daniel Bryan, his NXT protege, was now being chosen over him to a large reaction. Again, once the bell rang, people weren't as used to Daniel Bryan yet.
No.
So they weren't popping for spots.
No.
You know, we didn't have spots for them to pop for. So it got a good reaction, and the crowd kind of simmered down
after
that.
He was still finding his way to use his style, to mix his style with the WWE style at the time. So after that, you know what I mean, he's basically a guy for the longest
time then. He beat Miz for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
At the Night of Champions.
So he's just basically a guy.
Yeah, then because I remember he had the best match there on the Survivor Series. It was the opening match against I believe it was Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, you're right. But what I remember about that period is he's having he's that champion, the U.S. champion, the Intercontinental champion is Dolph Ziggler, and they had a series of matches on free TV, I believe, but they were wrestling every week, and Daniel Bryan was going over, and it was great matches.
Yes, and then, that's right. And
but,
then,
you know.
And then at WrestleMania, the U.S. title to be on the line is Daniel Bryan take on Sheamus, and that got bumped to the pre-show.
That's right, it got bumped, and then it got bumped from that, too.
No, I think they had it on the pre-show.
They didn't. I think it got turned into a battle royal or something. I think maybe. It never happened.
Anyways,
the point is that he kind of goes from this return. And then he's just kind of a guy who's there. And now he's not losing all the time, but he's kind of in that U.S. title area. He wins the Money in the Bank. And a big surprise.
Well, let's okay. Kind of fast forward to it. Is it then he starts to lose as the U.S. champion.
Well, I was going to say he really starts to lose when he wins that Money in the Bank.
Well, then the WWE is riding high off the crest of this. They're talking about Punk. And the promo.
Yes.
And then Punk's the promo. Punk wins at WWF. And now you have his longtime rival, cohort, Ring of Honor type guy. I mean, I remember him having a match with Ricky Steamboat as the referee.
Yes.
At one point. And then they have... then he wins the Money in the Bank. So now you're really thinking, like, fuck, Punk is on top.
I could find that picture of them with Steamboat, I betcha. Could use that as the picture. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. But Punk is riding high as a top guy, you know, top talked about guy. Now Daniel Bryan, a guy same ilk, is winning Money in the Bank. And again, Money in the Bank still at this point, probably more so at this point, a guaranteed
championship. But not when he wins it. again, there's a sense that there's always going to be that guy who fails. Is this going to be the guy who fails? Is this, oh, they've given it to Daniel Bryan so he can be the guy who fails. Because he gets it, and then he starts to lose. And then they actually set up a feud, I think, with him and
Wade Barrett
for the U.S. title. And you're like, oh, this is going to be even. This will be good for both of them. Barrett, they're giving a real push on, so maybe they'll have them. And it's not even Steven at all. I mean, Barrett just destroys him. And then he's losing after that to people like Christian, and he's losing all his matches.
It's to the point where you thought they were gonna do a thing where Barrett was going to beat him for the briefcase.
Yes, you actually did. You were waiting for the feud because everybody's like, well, it makes more sense at the time for Barrett to have it because Orton was going to end up as the champion. So you have babyface champion. So you're thinking to yourself, you know, Barrett's the guy, right? So the point is, though, he had said he's going to cash in at WrestleMania. His intention was, I'm going to cash in at WrestleMania. I'm going to win the title that night. Instead, he cashes it in a heel move it's not a heel move, actually, I would say, because it was the Big Show who was a heel. But he cashed.
No, Big Show is a babyface.
Big Show was a babyface?
Because Mark Henry
was
the
heel. You're right. And I thought Big it was the other way around, but you're right.
Finally beats Mark Henry. This was the thing where at the Survivor
Series.
That's right,
because Henry ends up beating Orton months and months in a row.
Yes, yeah. And at the Survivor Series, it's Big Show and Mark Henry, and I believe that's where they did the ring collapse. Same, the Brock Lesnar Big Show remake ring collapse was at that Survivor Series.
Yeah.
While both men are down, the entire Madison Square Garden crowd, because this was the one where The Rock teamed with John Cena to fight Truth, and the same one that CM Punk won the title to start his 400-plus day run.
Yeah.
The crowd, the New York, the Madison Square Garden crowd with both men down is very, very, very loudly chanting for Daniel Bryan.
That's right.
And screaming for him. And it was actually the next month where they did it, where the Big Show finally beat Mark Henry, was lying there, had done it for whatever, 37 seconds or whatever he was the champion for. And Daniel Bryan comes in, cashes it in, wins the title. Then he's the little guy against these two monsters.
But he's a heel. And he's
a baby face.
No.
But again, yes, because a lot like Punk, he then morphs.
Exactly. That's the
into
thing. He is a heel. This is where he starts the yes chance shit. Right? Like this is where he starts doing it, where he would win he'd win by count out and celebrate like he had won like the greatest five star match in history.
That's just it. And then he starts doing the yes.
But I want to get over this because we're trying to. Okay. So.
Yes.
The point being.
AJ.
The thing is, this is what I was going to say again. It's much like you say he morphs into this other character. This is where he starts to become a heel. This is the first time he finds a WWE character. Same thing as CM Punk.
Right.
When CM Punk becomes heel, this is where he finds his character. Like it's, when AJ becomes his girlfriend, we're thinking it's going to be a macho man, Elizabeth angle. They don't go in that direction. But the point is that. He was very pleased with himself, cocky heel. Pulls it off very, very well. He holds on to the belt against these monsters like you expected him to have it for a month. He keeps on holding on to it. Holds on to it through the Elimination Chamber, beating Santino as the last guy in a very exciting Elimination Chamber you couldn't see coming. Loses the belt, come out. The yes chance, like I say, he celebrates like he's won the greatest matches of the world. He hasn't. It's funny. But there's something to it, and there's something to the act, and there's something to him and AJ. Come WrestleMania weekend, people are doing the yes chants all across the WrestleMania weekend. Opening match, the pot crab pops like crazy for him. Him and Sheamus, that moment. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, the crowd, again, very hardcore crowd because it's WrestleMania, and Sheamus beats him, what was it, 18 seconds or 38 seconds or whatever he beats. Sheamus just... Brian kisses AJ, turns around, bro kick, 1, 2, 3. That's it. Was supposed to be this...
huge babyface moment for Sheamus.
Yeah, the same way that it was supposed to be with Diesel and with Bruno Sammartino beating Buddy Rogers in whatever 8 seconds, right? This was supposed to be this big dominant performance. And instead, the next night on Raw...
They knowing he was supposed to have gotten his.
People are chanting yes. People are chanting for Daniel Bryan, and that in itself made him the star for the next night on Raw, and then he started to get in with. And then it became about AJ, and it was him and Kane, and and Punk in
now him
in,
Punk
in
had three
ways.
3 months in a row they had pretty decent matches for he kind yeah. of he after he loses now he finally gets to face Sheamus in real matches, and for a couple months in a row he has real matches against him, loses, the crowd's still right. into him, so they're doing what they can to ruin that momentum to keep him heel.
But they're
trying to keep him a heel. So then they put him against Punk, thinking now he'll be a heel because Punk's so over as a babyface. Punk's in the middle of his championship run. They face 3 months in a row. They put AJ, like I say, in there in a love triangle, and they add Kane later. But the point is that's supposed to keep him a heel. The crowd's still 50-50 with him and Punk.
Yeah.
So they're working really, really hard to make him a heel and to not use the momentum he has. I mean, now he's in the main event spots or semi-main event. Like, he's no longer – he's the crowd reaction has pushed him to a certain elevation, and yet it's not what they want.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, then you fast forward to that, and you get the creation of Team Hell No.
Yeah.
You know, with it, and that's where Brian really finds a comedy character.
Yeah,
a sports entertainment edge. It's a sports entertainment edge.
Well, I think he had that even when he was taking on, Punk earlier. But now
this was amped up with Dr. Shelby and things. Yeah. Like, this was the comedy. This was what Vince. And I think this is where Vince started to see it in him. And that even though he was tiny, he could go in the ring. He was over with the crowd.
Could be entertaining.
And he could do whatever Vince asked him. Yeah. Like literally. He could do whatever Vince
asked him. Everything they threw at him and every obstacle, he's knocking it out of the park regardless. Now, you get to the point where him and Hell No, you keep on thinking to yourself, and I know you have to go, so we'll go through this pretty quickly here. But we're at the point where you keep on thinking they're going to lose the belts. They're going to lose the belts short reign. They're going to feud with each other. And they never do. They hold on to the belts a really, really long time. It's probably the most over tag teams with the belts that they've had since DX or – And maybe even more so than that in some ways, you could argue.
Yeah.
Like it's a very popular act. Until eventually you get to the point where it's I'm not the weak link.
And I think more
they lose the belt and it's I'm not the weak link.
I think more importantly than that though too is that when Kane and Daniel Bryan, Team Hell No, won the tag team titles, suddenly tag teams started popping up.
Yeah. Now he was the guy when they had to have a guy in the team lose, he was the guy. In singles, he would lose, or in when they were non-title matches, he was the guy to lose. But,
yeah, and that became part of the gimmick, too, is that you think I'm the weak link, and like you said, da-da-da-da, and that was kind of a step back a bit for him. But then
he's a popular upper mid-carder.
Yeah, he's a guy that the fans – but again, now's a time where the fans are starting to say, push this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we want to see more of him, and that's where the yes gets.
Well, at some point in time, late in their run, and against the Shield's the best thing that happens to him, because those are guys he can work with, and his work goes to the next level. He's having better matches now, you know what I mean? Late in the Team Hell No run, he's having his best matches. And now the crowd has the yes chant thing, so they gave up trying to do the no chant thing and work against it. They've embraced the yes chant thing. He's having great matches, so he's got a gimmick, he's got a chant. His work is great. Now he's up there, right? So that leads us to kind of what they've done since then, to the point where it's like we've realized he should be the number two babyface in the company. He gets the title shot against Cena. What's everything since SummerSlam?
Yeah, I mean, and that's just it. Is now it's
kind of like there was that moment, like Punk. And you can make him a star afterwards, but there's the moment to make him a megastar. They let it go, and they've never been able to make him a megastar again. And I feel like that's what they're doing now with Brian.
Yeah, and you want to say it's like Punk. I mean, what's the common thread? I'll give you a hint. It's one letter, and it's done three times.
Yes, that's true.
Hunter fucks both of them.
That's true.
You know, and
both interact with Hunter and don't come out as bigger stars.
Yeah, shocking. You know? Like, it's just the guy doesn't know how to do it. I mean, he may very well be able to develop and cultivate and have an eye for talent in terms of I want to sign this guy, push this guy, develop this guy. But he just puts a microphone in his hand, goes on a TV, and he's got such a small penis, he just can't show his ass.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that insecurity for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because he's been given every opportunity. Yep. You know, he had to do the hog pen matches and the dumpster shit for a while, but I mean that was like a year.
Yeah.
And that was because
of the curtain call.
The curtain call, but a year in 96, like back then, a year was nothing.
No.
You know, it's like a month now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, so it really, I don't know what is, I don't know why. Like, he's a fucking, like, he's got no reason to be this insecure.
I know.
But for whatever reason, he is. And it's just,
It's even, you say he's insecure, but it's even more than that. I think both times he thought he was putting these guys over in a way. I don't think he even knows how he isn't. And when I try and look at the...
Pedigree 1-2-3, there's no way. Pedigree on Punk, there's no way.
I know.
It was all about him and Nash.
That's true.
Building that ladder match.
It's a fucking nightmare.
And now it's all about him
and
Big Show and him and Austin or him and whoever the fucking guy is. That's what this whole thing is about. So
both times, what did they do that made them stars? And both times, what did they do to make them, to keep them as only stars?
They let them be themselves. Hmm. To be started. I mean, in both cases, I mean, Punk got a direct promo.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan just had, I really think that it was the interaction. I think it was that AJ to Team Hell No, where he was just, as I said, he was just himself in terms of interacting, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. It's an old thing. You take yourself and you amp it up.
Yeah.
Shockingly, that still works.
And both times, like you say, it's Triple H. But beyond that, what is it that kept them?
No, it's Triple H. That was it. Really, that was it. That was like, it was, I mean, you could say Triple H and Nash, or you could say Triple H and Stephanie.
Yeah.
But in terms of that, but it really is, it's direct storyline interaction with a guy that doesn't know how to show his ass.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Now, so finally, because they blew it with Punk and they won't get it again, and I think they've blown it with Bryan, I don't think they'll get it again.
Yeah.
It'll probably be 2 to 3 years. Maybe it'll be Sami Zayn 2 to 3 years from now. They'll have that chance again. What do they do different?
Nothing. Because they don't know.
Learn from this? The whole point of us doing this is so they could listen and learn.
They don't learn. Well, the whole thing is like, don't put Hunter out there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's absolutely it. Is you don't put Hunter out there.
I say just when the guy is hot, let him win a bunch of matches.
Well,
that's it.
There's that.
And as time is that it's hot, stop with the bullshit and the angles and the screwing and the
yes.
Don't get too sports entertaining. At that point, just capitalize and let the guy fucking win.
But if it's a matter of just let the guy win matches, you're saying let the guy win matches. I'm saying keep him against Triple H. To me, that's the same thing.
That's true.
You know, because
if Hunter does, if Hunter does face Daniel Bryan, do you think Daniel Bryan goes over? Probably not.
You know, at WrestleMania, if Daniel Bryan is Vince's guy against Hunter, there's a possibility.
I don't even understand it. We haven't got time to get into it. But at this point, last time we saw Triple H, like if the reason Big Show is acting happy now and not caring anymore is because Vince has given him has said you're my, or don't worry about it, they're not going to do anything to you. What's the conflict between Vince to make him be the babyface here? Because last time he was standing beside Hunter and Steph going, you guys are great. There's been no conflict between them to create him being a babyface. If he just shows up as one, what the fuck does that mean? It's stupid again. You're fucking idiots.
Yes, they are. But that's what's going to happen.
All right.
I mean, really, we talked about how they do the slow thing of Vince being old and Vince eventually just looking over at him. But no, they're not going to do that.
All right, let's get the... I just don't understand why Vince... If Big Show... If Vince gave him a contract again, says you're safe and Big Show is a babyface and he's a babyface, I just don't understand the logic behind it because Vince is happy to have... That's his people. Stephanie and Hunter are his people. And so is fucking Orton from the last time we saw him. So there's been nothing. All right, let's get the hell out of here. You want to... Unless you have something else to say.
I just want to point out as we end, Aiden English, new gimmick... is that they throw roses at him into the ring after he wins.
That's awesome.
I know. It is tremendous. But yeah, so that's it. What are we looking at here? WeTalkWrestling.com. Great website. Great website.
You visit it 2-3 times a day.
Well, that's all my browser will allow me. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is another great resource for the podcast. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. You can download us on iTunes and subscribe and get the podcast every week when it comes out, sometimes twice a week. Also, you can rate us on there and leave us some kind words of feedback as well.
You can call me an asshole, too. I don't care.
Oh, I can? Okay, here, I'm writing that down. And also on the Stitcher.
The Stitcher.
Mobile radio app. So that's all the ways you can wonderfully get us. Addy, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com. We're running out of time. We got a couple tweet or email questions, rather, that we will answer. Some of them are quite good in terms of former old television shows as well as some tag team questions. So very good there. But, yeah, I think that's going to do it then for this week. So, in the meantime... And in between time,
we're OUT.
Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
I almost didn't get my catchphrase in.
Fuck, that would have been great.